as we welcome back to the program. He is the Vice President of Officiating for the Canadian Football League. Glenn Johnson joins us again. Glenn, how you doing?
Jason, I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm very intrigued by one of the recommendations from the CFL's rule committee as far as the video official in command center who will basically be able to quickly fix obvious errors that are not challengeable by replay. So I guess let's run down how this would work. Would this official I know he's going to be in communication with the head referee on the field. Would he just get in his headphone and say, Dave, we missed a call here. Let's fix it. How does it work?
Yeah, basically, you're not far off. So first of all, he would never create a new penalty, nor would he ever stop the game. So the video official's job is to be most effective when the game's already been stopped for something. So they've thrown a flag. You know, they've stopped the game to administer a penalty, those kinds of things. And when, when things were not going well, this official would be able to quickly look at the play, weigh in, and help the guys get a decision right. So if there was, the classic example we use is two guys move on the line of scrimmage. We've got four flags. So a guy in the offense moves, a guy in the defense moves, and our four guys run together. They're trying to convince each other that their foul's the right foul. You know, I saw the tackle move first. The other guy's going, no, the defense was broken the plane. And our video official would quickly look at it and say, guys, it's clearly procedure on, you know, Edmonton number 58. Done. Let's move on. So it's those kinds of things that they would weigh in on. Timing at the end of the game. So when our officials are officiating a play, play goes dead, or guys are killing the play. Now they all look up and see zero on the boards. So they go, well, there's no time left. This official would know clearly that there's a second and a half left when that guy actually went down or went out of bounds. So it's some of the things that we're not getting right at the moment that are really critically hard to get right, that he could weigh in on. And I don't think fans will really even know that it's going on.
Oh, interesting, because that was going to be my question. The concern is the length of games now are long enough. Is this going to, do you think this might speed up the game because the discussions would be shorter on field?
Did you know that our games got shorter last year?
Yeah.
3 minutes shorter. Yeah. It's just interesting, the perception that's out there. You know, we've been working hard the last couple of years to, you know, even while adding some things, you know, shorten the length of our games, and our games went down by 3 minutes. You know, we're down at, you know, 2:52 from kickoff to final whistle, which puts that game, you know, in that three-hour window for broadcast. You know, we're about 15 minutes faster than an NFL game. We're about 26 minutes faster than a Division I NC2A game. So, you know, our game is the fastest football game that's on television. But to your point, you know, we don't want to add that. I don't want that to go up next year. So, you know, if we've added time back on because of this, we've failed. So the intent is quickly, in the moment, not to create a new stoppage of any kind, but to help those guys when they're in a situation that they probably just can't get right because they can't look at it.
Glenn Johnson joins us, VP of Officiating for the CFL. Now, Glenn, anytime there's a rule change, we always look at the benefits of it. Is there any concerns, like if it's not done right, or can teams suddenly maybe start asking, oh, no, you got to check that. Talk to the guy upstairs.
Yeah, so they can't do that.
Okay.
That's not part of this. What we have done is we've given them more things to challenge. We haven't given them more challenges, but we've given them more things to look at to get right. And, you know, again, we're only looking to really fix the big mistakes, the obvious mistakes. That's what replay's for. You know, replay's not to go in there and look at something for 2 minutes and try and decide which, you know, side of the gray line it's on. It's to fix a mistake that happens. A guy's blocked out. A guy doesn't see it. A guy misses something. Or call something that just, you know, didn't really happen because of his angle. It's really to fix those things. So, no, guys won't be able to say, you know, go to the, you know, and maybe that's my fault for the way we went out with this as eye in the sky. Maybe that was a little ominous for people.
Okay.
You know, maybe that's just a bad headline for us to have. But, no, this person's job is in the background, help the guys on the field get things right faster, more quickly than they could today.
Will these new video officials be, like, I'm guessing they all have to be former officials who know the rule book inside and out?
Yes. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. You know, we're gonna staff it with guys that have been on the field, understand the rules. They're gonna, as you said, they're gonna have to know those things and be able to recall them in a very quick manner.
Now this was your recommendation. This still has to get signed and sealed by the league. What's your initial gut reaction? Like, is there going to be any pushback from the teams, or are they all for this?
Well, I mean, every team's represented on the rules committee. You know, so it's up to them to kind of do their homework with their governors and their owners. You know, I don't want to speak for the governors or owners. We make recommendations. I think we've done what they've asked us to do, which is continue to be innovative, continue to, you know, try and use video to our advantage because we've invested in the infrastructure. You know, they also said to us, reduce penalties, you know, which is another major thing that we've tried to do in the recommendations that we've made to them. So I hope they pass them, but certainly that's in their hands.
Now, that, you know, reducing penalties is a big one because I know the amount of penalties, we were tracking it all last year and they were up a little bit, then they went down. Now, a lot of them were pre-snap penalties, which, you know, to me, that's nothing on the official. That's all on the players themselves. What's your recommendation on how to cut down on pre-snap infractions?
Yeah, what we're doing this year is we're allowing offensive line players who go into a three-point stance to be able to move. They can't break their three-point stance, so once they're down in their triangle, they need to have that hand down and keep that hand down. But if something changes and they need to call an audible and a guard now has a new assignment on a play, he's going to point or he's going to tell his teammates who he's now covering. We're going to allow guys to do that movement. In the past, we've been flagging that. And we're now going to allow them to move it. It's more in alignment with some other leagues. So when guys come from other leagues and play in ours, we're now much more aligned around that. And I think we'll literally get, you know, 100 to 120 less penalties for procedure, you know, than we did last year. So, you know, we're looking at a penalty and a half to two penalties a game. I think we'll just take out by having this new rule and letting them move. They do have to come stationary for a second, but they can still move when they're in that three-point.
Okay. Now, that's interesting, Glenn. Any reason why it took you guys this long to change? And I know you've only been on the job a few years, so it's kind of hard to talk about the previous decades and stuff, but how come this rule wasn't changed before?
Well, we've gone through different variations on this. I mean, I've been in the league a long time, and you know, we had a time when we let them do this. And the concern was that we had a very hard time being consistent with it because we let them move so much. Okay. So I think the pendulum swung too far. So then the snap reaction was then let's just not have them move at all. That's black and white. It's easy for refs to ref. It's easy to coach. You know, don't move. However, it's still happening a lot. So when they said to me, Glenn, get rid of penalties, I looked at the biggest buckets. You know, we had about 275 of these penalties last year. So I said, how do we attack the big buckets and reduce them? And this was just an obvious way to do that.
Glenn Johnson joins us, VP of officiating for the CFL. Now, outside of, you know, the eye in the sky had a lot of people talking, but there was a lot. There's some other emphasis on player safety again. Peel back blocks.
Exactly.
Although they
say that three times.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not very. They don't happen a whole bunch, but they're pretty dangerous. So how is that rule going to be changed this year?
Yeah, when we first brought it in a few years ago, we limited it to the offensive line players, so the guys in the tackle box, and them doing it only in the backfield, because that's typically where it occurred. But last year, we saw some pretty close calls where, you know, receivers would head downfield, and then there was a secondary pass that was a screen pass out to the flat, and guys would come back on a defensive back or a corner or, you know, even a linebacker, and they'd kind of go low on him. Now, linebacker had a better chance to protect himself than a defensive lineman does in the backfield. But what we're doing now is we're simply making this block illegal for any offensive player anywhere on the field. And that way, you know, no one can expect to be, you know, blocked low by someone who's coming at them from an angle of behind them.
Now, there's also a few other things as far as, you know, technical changes to the game. No longer allowing a team that surrenders a field goal in the last 3 minutes of the game to choose to scrimmage the ball instead of receiving a kickoff. And is that just because you feel that, you know, there's more potential of turnovers because of that?
No, actually, it's to deal with a situation where if you're down two scores, let's say you're down 10 or 11 points in the last, you know, minute of the game.
Yeah.
When you're driving right now, because if you kick your field goal first, the rule is the other team could just take the ball and scrimmage.
Yeah.
And they could just run the clock out. So you really had to try and score your touchdown first. And if you didn't make that, basically the game was over. So now what this does is it keeps in play these two possession score differences more, because you can kick your field goal first, and now you have to kick off. So you have a chance for a short kick to recover it to try and score your touchdown and still win or tie.
It's actually
going to create more like exciting that. Finishes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the other one is, I know, because one of the consequences of allowing offenses to use their own footballs was when a defensive player, creates a turnover on the field, and then he hands that ball to a fan. That was an objectionable conduct, but they've taken that rule out now.
Yeah. We didn't architect it as well as we should have on the way in. You know, we looked at it from a preservation of football perspective and keeping those game balls in play that the offense had conditioned, as opposed to what we took away from the fan experience. And, you know, we've now corrected that by allowing them to do it, which is really the right thing to do.
And the other one is offsetting penalties, where, mm-hmm. If the defense is offside and the offense commits holding on the player was offside, it would result in no yardage difference being applied and the down being replayed. How often did those situations arise in the past?
They don't happen very often. They really don't. But when they do, they're very frustrating. They're very frustrating to the team that commits the second foul because they believe they needed to do it from a player safety perspective, for example, mm-hmm. To protect their quarterback. They were only put in that situation because of the first team's egregious action or foul. So this really just makes it no worse off for the team that fouls second when they feel they need to do it from a player safety perspective. So they don't happen very often. You're right, Jason. But I think when they do, it's like, you just see the massive difference in what should be right. So we're trying to make it right.
And one last one for you, Glenn, as far as the changes, the rules, going back to allowing the offensive linemen to move as long as they maintain their 3-point stance. I'm sure the defense looks at that and says, hey, wait a sec. Is that going to allow them to go to try to jump offside more? How do you balance that? Where's the balance on what's allowed that isn't considered, trying to suck the defense offside?
Yeah, we looked at a lot of film on this, like a lot. Not just plays that were called, but we looked at 500 or 600 plays. And we feel very confident that the types of things that are done between those two situations are very different. Very different. So if an offensive lineman shoots his hand out quick to point, that's still going to be a penalty. But if a guy's slowly putting, he's got his right hand down, he's slowly putting his left hand up, bent at the elbow, kind of waving his fist, that's a signal, right? That's clearly something for an assignment call. So I think they're very, very different actions. I think we'll be fine with this. And, the defensive players now are taught, watch the ball anyway, move on the ball. So with both of those things going on, I truly think we're going to get rid of, over 100 penalties here.
Nice. One last one for you. How many officials retired this year, if any?
We chose to retire three.
Okay.
One chose to retire on his own. And then we had a couple of leave of absences requested for just some personal reasons, work and life from a couple guys. So we're down six. We're bringing eight new prospects to camp. I'm really excited about this prospect class. They're just solid people. And, I'm kind of glad that we have the opportunity, with the openings that have occurred here to get these guys on the field. So there'll be a bit of change, but, we're going to get younger and hopefully better.
Is six kind of an average number? Is that high for turnover in one off season?
Yeah, that's high.
Okay.
That's high. I would say we average closer to three.
Okay.
So it's, sort of double what we're used to. But it just is what it is. It's like any team. Sometimes coaching staffs change. Sometimes players change. And, it's the same for us. So we're ready, and we're ready to adapt.
Glenn, always great to talk to you. We look forward to seeing the new rules in place this season.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Anytime.